Jim Ooze.
I feel like a duck-billed platypus.
Ow!
Dude, check out the Knox.
It's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Let's go, Tybalt! Great adventures await!
Hey, welcome to Dystopian Dance Party. This is one of our mini-sodes where we're going to just talk about some other Pauly Shore stuff. So totally Pauly, and then we have some other treats for you as well about some current Pauly events. My name is Callie.
And my name is Zach. So let's start with, we got a couple more comments. These are all from our son-in-law video. Actually, there's one from one of the shorts that we posted for Encino Man that I thought was kind of nice. It was, I think, the clip about how Brendan Fraser is too handsome to be using to try to get girls. And this guy responded to the short. He said, "My best friend and I skipped chorus class for an entire week to go see this at the theater when it came out. Heart, Brendan Fraser." So that was a cute story.
Did they see Encino Man?
That was what I was just going to ask. Did they see it every day? Like during chorus class, they went to see Encino Man again from Monday through Friday.
That's like worst idea of all time. Did when Cats came out, they did My Week with Cats, where they saw Cats every day for a week while it was in theaters. So that kind of has that kind of feel to it. Except I feel like Encino Man is a way better
movie.
So
they kind of invented the worst idea of all time by accident. So
they just skipped it and then just could not bring themselves to go back to chorus class after seeing Encino Man for a whole week.
Their lives were so irrevocably altered. And then we got some comments from son-in-law, which is doing pretty well. It's so unpredictable because I haven't promoted the son-in-law video like at all, but we've got way more views. I mean, still not that many, but you know, more for us. So the mysteries of YouTube's algorithm remain impenetrable to me. But first of all, our buddy Humongous said, "I tried to stay with you guys on this, but I just can't do it. I just can't make myself sit through a complete Pauly Shore anything. Sorry." I mean, this was a response that we anticipated. So, you know, apology is not required. I get it. And honestly, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but the movies are getting a little bit harder even for us to sit through. So, not to show my hand about in the army now, but I enjoyed that significantly less than I enjoyed the first two.
I will say that in my opinion, they get better after in the army now. Now, yeah.
What
better
I'm hoping,
is still subjective, but
right. The high watermark is Encino Man, a movie that is, you know, but 3 stars at best. But I'm hoping that it's not a, because the what made 12 months of Mike so grueling was that we knew exactly when it would stop being fun. And that was about a third of the way through the...
Okay, the thing that made 12 months of Mike so grueling, for real, is that we thought we knew when it would get grueling. And what we actually didn't realize was that it would be the second movie. So, like, that was the issue with 12 months of Mike.
That is true.
Whereas with this, I knew at least two of the movies were going to be good. I wasn't sure about In the Army Now because I hadn't seen it at the time. And then I know that two more really great films are coming out. I don't expect anyone else to agree with me, but I'm very excited to watch Biodome again.
So, you know, I'm hoping that that's just a slight hitch and we'll be the weasel train will be back in order. And then he also said that he likes the new format, but he misses the clips of the shows and such. I also miss the clips of the shows and stuff and such. Honestly, a big reason why I wanted to do video at all was because I liked the idea of having a clip running while we're talking. I didn't really want this to be like all my face. But the problem is that Pauly Shore did a lot of content for Disney, and they are much more protective of Son-in-Law as an IP than I would have predicted. It's like the only thing I could sneak in from either Encino Man or Son-in-Law was I was able to get just the audio clip of the grandpa using the weasel speak. And I had to do that. I had to drop out the video. So it's just a blank, you know, blank screen with the backdrop. And it just runs the audio. That managed to trick YouTube into letting me do it. But other than that, it's like you have 5 seconds of Son-in-Law and they're like, no, you have to pay for that. So I'm hoping that after In the Army Now, things will loosen up a little bit.
Well,
somehow.
Goofy Movie,
I don't
absolutely
know.
Not.
I mean, I wouldn't have. Goofy Movie is going to be rough. Yeah, Goofy movie,
there will be no
clips. I don't
clips.
Even think I'm going to try anticipate. With Goofy Movie.
I wouldn't, because right. Goofy Movie is beloved. That's the one that I expect them to protect. The other ones I'm not.
That's the one that I would have, yeah. About. And maybe Encino Man, but Son-in-Law was a little surprising. And then In the Army Now, it's like, that shit should be on Tubi, you know? But yeah. I don't know. It just
We will Disney be sued for everything that we own if we put Leaning Tower of Cheese in there.
That's such a
that is a $1 million catchphrase.
And then this, I actually didn't know it was. I didn't know this comment. This is actually from a user that I don't recognize by name. So welcome. But from their comment, I'm not sure if they're sticking around, because all they said was, "I also would be upset if Pauly Shore was in my town." So I guess that's his review of Son-in-Law.
What was the context for that? Because out of context, it just sounds kind of threatening.
I guess he was just imagining himself as a character in Son-in-Law. And
well,
he was
I'll tell
like,
you what,
yeah,
spoiler alert,
suck.
At the end, he brings the whole town around and they all love him and are talking like him. So joke's on you. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with this podcast.
Exactly. We're trying to create a nationwide version of the end of Son-in-Law. If by this Thanksgiving our dad doesn't talk about grindage and nugs, then we're, you know, we failed as podcasters and as children. So that's the comments. Real quick, a couple weeks ago, we talked about what's going on now in the Pauly-verse. And every once in a while, you know, we follow him on social media and stuff, but he honestly posts a lot. So I, you know, it's sort of like I dip in and out. I'm not hanging on Pauly's every word. But every once in a while, he'll like say something that sort of like crosses into the something approaching the zeitgeist. And so I'm like, well, this is, you know, we can just have a recurring segment where we talk about what is happening with Pauly now. I don't have a name for it. Weasel Watch or something. You know, I don't know.
Weasel Watch is good. It's best to not think too much. Like, I feel like Pauly did not think too much about any of his branding. So I feel like it's best to just not
exactly
just go with the flow.
It would be wrong for us to put more thought into our content than Pauly ever put into his, right? Like, that's it wouldn't be true to the spirit. So in our, I think it was our second episode ever, we talked about the Richard Simmons affair, you know, the short film that he was in. That was Sundance adjacent, and they got some social media buzz and also got Richard Simmons to respond and say he didn't approve of it. I thought that was the end of it, but a couple weeks ago, Pauly has brought this up again. This is from USA Today. Pauly Shore is responding to Richard Simmons' public disapproval of his casting in a biopic about the fitness personality. Shore shared a screenshot of a tweet from Simmons posted on April 24th. The message was shared across his social media pages and read in part, "I just read that a man that I don't know is writing my biopic starring Pauly Shore. I do not approve this movie," the post continued. "I'm in talks with major studios to create my own biopic with some help. Wait for this movie." Shore addressed the post on Instagram on April 25th, sharing with fans that he was up all night crying about the message. Richard, how do you not approve of this movie? I mean, really, who's better to play you in a movie than me? Shore wrote in part in the caption. I'm perfect. Everyone already thinks I'm you. We're the same. Beautiful inside and out. Hell yeah. Shore noted that Simmons had not yet heard the pitch for the biopic and offered to personally go to his house and pitch in the idea. The actor also shares that he and Simmons used to hang out back in the day and would see each other at the Comedy Store. "You're my old buddy. Richard, you're going to love our movie," Shore wrote. "We're going to make the most beautiful cinematic masterpiece that's going to honor you in a way that you'll drop to your knees and cry with joy and happiness." There's so much crying. Molly's very emotional right now. I feel like they're very carefully editing around the part where he offered to rub Richard Simmons' feet. And that was the most memorable part of the Instagram caption for me. So this is reading directly from the Instagram post. So Pauly said, "You guys, I was up all night crying regarding Richard Simmons' tweet. Richard, how do you not approve of this movie? Who's better? Blah, blah, blah. Leonardo DiCaprio is not going to play you. Brad Pitt's not going to play you. Richard, you haven't even heard the pitch. Why don't you simply let me come over to your house, bring you some warm matzo ball soup and a pastrami sandwich with dark mustard from Cantor's, rub your feet, and we can listen to the writer, Jordan Allen Dutton, pitch your idea." And then he goes into the part where they know each other.
That's like, that's literally how in Can't Stop the Music, they get a record deal for the Village People. I don't know if anyone else will. I feel like we're becoming
maybe that was a
increasingly
reference.
More niche, but
yeah,
we also would need to trap Richard Simmons on a plane. Hey, but it worked for the Village People, so.
Oh, and then in the same USA Today story on Facebook on April 26, Simmons wrote that he had gotten a fourth offer from a studio wanting to collaborate on a biopic. He wrote in part, "I have so many ideas swimming in my head. I'm writing the outline now. Wish me luck." So if nothing else, what this whole bizarre exchange has told us is that we have a huge glut of Richard Simmons biopics to look forward to.
That's some what authorized, I was thinking. I'm
some,
like,
some not.
Regardless of who is playing him, like, why is there such a demand for these movies? Who is asking for this?
I don't know.
I hope they just all come out. I want all of them to come out, and then maybe we can do a like some kind of series of that where we just see all the Richard Simmons movies.
Yeah, I want them all to come out, and I want it to be like it is now, where you know every movie is a superhero movie. I want people to be talking about Richard Simmons fatigue. Like, why is every movie in theaters another biopic of Richard Simmons? I feel like I remembered, as part of this whole affair, I feel like I remember Richard, who, by the way, is very active on Facebook. I'm not really on Facebook.
The last I heard of him, he was like a recluse. So I'm shocked that he's like, apparently.
Yeah,
he's
there
just
was like that whole thing. There was that whole, like, somebody did a podcast where they were speculating that he was like being exploited by his management. And I guess that isn't the case. But he's making like multiple Facebook posts a day. So I'm assuming that when they made that podcast, I'm assuming this is a recent development. But yeah, he is extremely active. So I can't actually find the post. He might have deleted it. But I feel like I remember him saying that he wanted Tom Cruise to play him and not Pauly Shore.
Yeah, I remember that when we first read it, but I don't know
maybe he deleted
where
that post.
I read that now. we imagined
maybe
it.
Maybe he had to delete that post because Tom Cruise is playing him in the movie and the studio made him take it.
I thought you were going to say because Tom Cruise is having legal action against him because he's a Scientologist. But
maybe that too. So that's your Pauly Shore, Richard Simmons update. I know we're all waiting with bated breath for the resolution of this. And then also, here's a weird thing. I happened on this randomly when I was editing the Son-in-Law episode. I was trying to find the news article that we referred to about the Mary Pauly Shore competition. So I just like searched Pauly Shore marriage competition. And instead, I got served all of these links about, I guess late last year on the Drew Barrymore show, which I'm like constantly hearing about, but I have never watched a
against
single
my will,
second
like
of in my life. Yeah, like it's always, they must have great management or something because I'm always hearing about the damn Drew Barrymore show. But apparently late last year, Pauly got down on one knee and proposed to Drew Barrymore on her daytime talk show. This is from Entertainment Weekly. This is from back in January because they caught up with Pauly a few months after. So it's like around the time that we were starting this show, the actor and comedian who is set to star as fitness guru Richard Simmons in a forthcoming biopic tells EW that Barrymore is the one controlling whether the pair will get hitched or not. You're going to have to ask her, Shore says when asked for a post-proposal update. But yeah, I'm in love with Drew, like America is. And I've known her for a long time, and I don't know. I'm very comfortable around her. It says, Shore stunned Barrymore and her entire studio audience when he suddenly popped the question at the end of his November appearance on the Drew Barrymore show. At the time, Barrymore said she would give him an answer on a subsequent episode, but EW has since learned that the series does not have plans to ever air her response. And this like threw me for a loop too, because what? Drew Barrymore was very briefly married, like actually married to Tom Green, AKA the Pauly Shore of the late 90s and early 2000s. So it like, I had this weird moment where I was like, wait, Pauly Shore proposed to Drew Barrymore? Like, why does that sound familiar? And then I realized that this was all some bizarre publicity stunt from her show like 6 months ago. So maybe instead of Pauly Watch, maybe this sequence can be called Is Pauly Shore Okay? And we can just do a...
Maybe it can be called Pauly Watch.
We can just weigh in on what we think is...
And then the subtitle is Pauly Shore Okay? Maybe that's what this podcast really is. It's like the Richard Simmons one where they're like, it's like the Free Britney one as well, where we're just like speculating on Pauly Shore's mental health and his well-being.
I would say from the strength of these two news stories, I'm a little concerned about
Pauly's
mental health.
Well, and there was also the
health.
Story where he like assaulted one in the Comedy Stores. Which really, really is funny, and I feel bad that I laugh every single time I mention it, but it was just, like, so bizarre.
He's going through it right now. I think Pauly really needs this. So we've got to – I'm going to try to be nice about it in the Army now because I don't want to –
But
I don't want to give him anything else to be upset about.
I can't tell, like, if this is a bit or not because, like, one of our – last episodes we talked about how this might just be me because I can't discern if things are meant in jest or not, like for almost anything. But especially with Pauly Shore, because it seems like it's part of the bit that he acts like this. So I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? Am I just like taking this too serious?
I mean, the marriage thing definitely seems like it's a joke.
Well, like, remember that episode of Jam in the Van that I found, like, 2 years ago? And Danny Brown was on it, and they were just, like, it seemed like they were fighting, but, like, I couldn't tell what was going on.
That was really weird.
And it's just super awkward, Danny's, like, drunk the whole time.
Right.
So I'm like, are they both okay?
Yeah, and I think this is, like, again, getting to why we can get through the Pauly Shore stuff. Because we like awkward...
Kind anti-comedy.
Of like anti-comedy. So I don't know how intentional it is, but a lot of Pauly's stuff hits that way for me. Like, actually, this is a good segue because I kind of wanted to talk about this when we talk about the, or we're going to talk about some like totally Pauly adjacent stuff. And I'm going to throw into the ring the set he did on Arsenio that we saw from like 92 or 93.
This is the one I sent you that it... God, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
It's something to behold. So, I mean, he's telling a lot of the same jokes that he tells in his other specials that we talked about. And they're not the best performances of these jokes. And he tells some jokes about last time on our last mini episode, we talked about Shannon Wilsey and their relationship. And this, and he tells a joke about dating a porn star. So this is like, you know, right around the time that they first started seeing each other.
But I got a girlfriend now. Is that cool? I got a girlfriend, bud. That's cool, you know. My mom doesn't really approve of her because she's a porno star. I'm like, Mom, at least she has a job. Most girls in this town are kept up by some old crusty dude, you know? But you know what's cool about going out with the porno stars? I don't have to hide the video camera anymore.
Like, basically all of his jokes kind of die. Like, the audience is not really
but
into
like,
it.
It's like with the David Lee Roth stories. It's like, if you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times. It's like, he's talking about wearing a condom.
Yeah.
He's talking about, like, it's just like the Pauly Shore set.
Does he? Yeah, he talks about AIDS again, doesn't he? At the like
he
ends with like this grim joke about AIDS, and then he's like, "I guess I'm out of time. Bye." And that's it.
But you know, I asked her one thing ago. Aren't you scared about like, you know, getting diseases and stuff? And she's like, "Aren't you?" Okay, well, that's like my portion of the show for now. I'll be back soon. Thanks.
And then he kind of just like. Barrels the camera, looks sad. He's kind of like, all right, that's me. And the audience is just like,
I think generously, the things that I found funny about it were 40% intentional. You know, that's
he's also dressed like Steven
it
Tyler,
works for
so
me.
That adds to it too.
Yeah. It does. It does. All of this showmanship and then the actual material is just like barely thought out.
You have to keep in mind that in context, this was after an interview he had on Arsenio where he was asked, like, what's the difference between you and the weasel? And he said he was doing that bit where he's like, well, the weasel is like this and I'm like this. Like, it's literally just the same thing, and that's the joke. So, like, imagine that interview and then that set.
Yeah. So let's talk about, we've got some Pauly, is all chilling with the Wheeze, right?
So I haven't been watching Totally Pauly at the rate that I was before I took a break, but I've been getting back into it, and I just had it on shuffle like usual, and I kept playing the Spring Break episodes, which have become my favorite now because they are probably like 10 times more chaotic than a regular Totally Pauly.
Yeah, they're somehow
totally
less planned because, you know, it's happening live at this hellhole in Daytona Beach, you know, so it's like whatever modicum of editing and scripting went into Totally Pauly and Totally Different Pauly does not exist for Chilling with the Wheeze. It's just...
And not only that, but, like, obviously, Totally Pauly and Totally Different Pauly were kind of subject to whatever music videos were out at the time. But the music videos were kind of inconsequential to the content of the show. Like, whatever he was doing, he'd be at a Halloween store, and then he's like, all right, Take Me to the Other Side by Aerosmith. It's like, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. Whereas with this, it's like he's kind of, like, keyed in to the 90s zeitgeist, which means that, like, he comes out with this unitard and he's dancing to I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred, or like there's one not from this episode but from a previous Chilling with the Wheeze, and that was the one where Vince Neil comes out and advertises his swimsuit line that I don't think ever came out. Aside from like that stuff, the funniest thing about it was that, like, okay, so he interviews RuPaul on that one, and then he's like, and next we're going to have Snow performing. It's like, Snow? Like, was Snow this popular? Like, informer Snow, yeah. The white reggae guy? I was like, this is so weird. But I guess he was, because they spoofed him on In Living Color, too. So I'm like, this had to have been a really ubiquitous song.
Yeah,
like, it's just so funny to think about now.
Hit.
Or like in this one that we're going to talk about today, the 1992 one. He comes out to Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue, and he's, like, singing along.
When I get high, on speed, I run a few lists of drugs for me. My heart can't stop. Always got the cops running after me. Get her up.
And then he tells the audience, like,
I show up at band practice and they kick me out, man. Son, yeah. Dude, I'll just be a race car driver. Turn it back up, I don't care.
And then he gets into a tiny car and, like, reverses it. And that's the intro to the show. And then just like,
yeah, it's
cut
just
to
like,
something else.
They just kind of like let him go. And so it's like, this is the most pure, undiluted Weasel experience you can get. Everybody's hammered. Everybody's yelling.
Vince Neil is there promoting his swimsuit line.
Spinal Tap plays. Yeah.
There are also these segments he does with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes. Those were extremely awkward.
Oh, man, witness the wild chicks, bro.
Forget wild chicks. I want to meet a good girl, a girl who's never played around. I figure she's due.
I mean, on the one hand, it's like it makes sense because obviously Rodney Dangerfield is like from the school that his dad came from, you know, and he's a big comedy nerd. And so, you know, it makes sense on that level. But then like their sensibilities are so at odds with each other. They're just like, they seem like they're doing totally different routines. Rodney tries to do some of the Weasel speaking, and it's just very funny in like a, you know, train wreck kind of a way.
Come on, Rodney, just do me a favor, bro. Just practice this for a second, okay? Go ahead. Hey, Freshna, check out the Wiki Creator, everybody.
Hey, Freshnut, I'll check out the Who You Created, buddy.
And then end it with a howl, bro. Ow!
Ow!
Yeah, man.
One thing that I found genuinely funny was when Pauly sort of like asked, like, how did he end up here? And Rodney Dangerfield just, without missing a beat, is like, lost a bet. Like, that was like genuinely funny. It wasn't the anti-comedy thing. I'm like, but it kind of was because it's like,
right,
it's that thing where the whole bit is that everybody hates Pauly Shore.
Right. Yeah. He says something at one point. He's like, stay away from my daughter and my son. So I thought that was interesting, especially in light of some of the jokes in the Army Now that we'll get to, yeah, in the next episode. Oh yeah. There's Lenny Kravitz, which is...
Oh, yeah! The Lenny Kravitz interview is hilarious. Especially in light, yeah, of, like, I've recently just keep finding Lenny Kravitz videos on my timeline, and I'm like, I don't ever think about Lenny Kravitz, and yet I just keep seeing his, like, unhinged Instagram presence.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz has become... If you're out there and you don't know what we're talking about, look up Lenny Kravitz on social media, because he's kind of become this weird meme version of Lenny Kravitz, where it's like, you know, he'll take like a video of him strutting into, what was it, Bucky's? Like,
it was
some convenience store, and he was like wearing leather, you know, like wearing fucking leather
wearing
pants.
Like leather, a tiny
and a
shirt,
top.
And he's just walking like this. And then he's just like talking to people, and everyone is pretending to be excited to see Lenny Kravitz. Or then there's this other video where he's lifting weights in leather. I don't know how
bizarre
to describe it, because the way we're describing it does not sound funny, but I promise you it is funny.
I know. It's like the way we're describing it, it makes him sound cooler than he appears in the video.
Or maybe he is cool and we're just assholes.
Maybe. Yeah, cool, maybe. But I don't know. There's something like thirsty about his social media presence right,
yeah,
now, where it's like he's really wants people to be like, whoa, Lenny's cool. And it's just,
yeah,
like, I don't know. It's just something very strange about him right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that also has the effect of making Lenny Kravitz retroactively funny. You know, I don't know if
Lenny Kravitz has always been kind of funny to me,
Pauly
though.
Shore would be funny.
Even in the 90s?
A little bit. And I mean, and thirsty also. That is a good description. Like, you can see him trying a lot. That's true, I think, through his whole career.
Yeah.
And then there's that, I'm just kind of like scrolling through to remember.
Oh,
what
I remember what it was about Lenny Kravitz that was funny. It's because there's this segment... Because it'll be, like, the live Daytona Beach stuff, and then there'll be, like, the Rodney Dangerfield thing, and then, like, little vignettes or whatever in between. And so there's this one where, for some reason, Pauly is at a biker bar, and he's acting like, oh, the bikers love me here. And then some biker comes up to him and says he, like, messed up his bike. And Paulie's trying to get out of, like, getting his ass beat or whatever. And the guy says, like, the only way you can fix this is if you let me do a set at Chillin' with the Weez 1992 Daytona Beach. And so Paulie lets him do a comedy set, which is, like, more anti-comedy because he's up there and it's like he's bombing. But Paulie doesn't want to interrupt him because he's like, he doesn't want to get his ass beat. But he's like, I gotta wrap this up because I gotta interview Lenny Kravitz. But just like the lead up to it is so funny because it's like he's got to stop this bad comedian so that he can get Lenny Kravitz on the stage. Just imagine Lenny Kravitz waiting to be called on stage. It's just chaos. It's just like every 90s thing that you can think of mashed into one chaotic show, which I think is what the appeal is to me, because it's just like you never know what's going to happen next.
I know. And this is just like, this is an almost random sampling of, it's not like we went through and cataloged the craziest things to happen on Chillin' with the Weez. This is literally just like what our eyeballs were confronted with when we put the video on. So I don't reckon, if you're somebody who can't even, you know, if you can't get through Son-in-Law or Encino Man, do not, Chilling with the Weez will put you in a fucking coma. You know, you have to build up your tolerance first. But if you have the same brain disease that we have, I do think it's a good time. And then also, there's one more that we were going to talk about, which was the episode of Totally Different Polly with Peter Shore, who I think is a real person, but I think that person might not actually be Polly's brother, but Polly does have a brother named Peter.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
And I think this guy might just be, like, portraying him.
So this just came up on YouTube for me, and I mean, it's kind of, when you're just watching it without music videos or anything, it just gets kind of repetitive, so there's not a whole lot I need to say about it, but basically, Peter Shore guest stars, again, not sure if that's actually Paulie's brother or not. I did do some minimal research to see if it was, but the only thing I found was that, because the whole thing is like Peter Shore is on here and they keep going, oh, you're brother of the Weez. You're the Weasel's brother, like that kind of a thing, even though he has a career of his own, right? And he's a film producer. And so I'm just like, is this really Paulie's brother? And I looked it up and it just said Peter Shore, film producer, Paulie Shore's brother on Google.
So it was true to life. But I have a little bit of an update because I actually found there was some drama between Paulie and Peter later. So this kind of goes in the is Paulie okay file. So this is from The Hollywood Reporter, December 7th, 2009. A family feud over the future of Los Angeles's venerable comedy store spilled into court today. Actor-comedian Paulie Shore sued brother Peter Shore, alleging Paulie was improperly removed from the family company's board of directors and suggesting possible elder abuse of their ill mother, Mitzi Shore. With their mother declining health, Paulie claims Peter took unfair advantage of his filial relationship with Mrs. Shore and her mental capacity to coerce Mrs. Shore into removing Paulie from the company's board of directors. So that's an interesting and bummer turn that this goofy, totally different Paulie sketch from 1992 took.
Yep. Well, that's our episode.
I might actually cut that out because it's such a...
No, I think it's good.
I don't know how to follow that, you know?
No, there's no way to follow it. It's good. It's how Paulie would have ended his set.
It's how he ended his set on Arsenio, exactly. we gotta embrace the spirit of the thing. So this was not a full episode, obviously. We just we've been putting in these like fillers to talk about other things. I honestly don't know what we're gonna do for the next filler because I think we've officially caught up with Totally Polly Fan, who is our source for, you know, the MTV stuff. And so I don't think there's anything from 94. And I barely have one episode's worth of In the Army Now stuff to talk about. So we're just gonna have to wing it. And maybe there'll be, you know, maybe Drew Barrymore will announce the results of the engagement and we can talk about that in a month. But for now, we'll see you in 2 weeks when we talk about In the Army Now. Of course, you can find us on YouTube at Dystopian Dance Party, on Instagram at Dystopian Graham. You can find us on the internet at dystopiandanceparty.com, and you can email us at heybuddy@dystopiandanceparty.com. Give us a review, maybe not from the strength of this episode, maybe watch one of our other episodes first before you decide what to review us. But, you know, Watch the Son-in-Law episode. That's a good one.
Honestly, I understand why people are a little bit hesitant to get into this because everybody hates Pauly Shore, apparently. But I will say that I personally think this is one of the funniest, most put-together things we've ever done. And I'm personally enjoying it, unlike 12 Months of Mike. So
right. It's like a weird, I don't know if anybody wanted us to come back so much that there would be a monkey's paw kind of situation. But I could imagine it being like a monkey's paw situation where it's like you watch the Kiss videos or whatever and you're like, wow, those two are funny. I wish they would make more videos. And then, you know, the monkey's paw curls and we're doing an entire year of Pauly Shore themed content. but it is good. I insist that this is good. So yeah, hopefully even if you're not a Pauly Shore fan, you'll find something to like and stick around. But I mean, you know, we'll do something else at some point. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
Okay, well, that's like my portion of the show for now. I'll be back soon. Thanks.